Hello and welcome to the Apple Insider Podcast. This is your host, Stephen Robles. And for this very special interview episode, I have a special guest with me, Matthew Casinelli. You might see him as the Shortcuts Guy on Twitter. And he's also on various podcasts. He's on the Twit Network as well. But Matthew Casinelli, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, man. And so first of all, you were actually on the original Workflow app team, and I was an early adopter. I loved the Workflow app. It felt like you guys had to have been breaking some rules to get that thing to do what it did. I don't know. I mean, it stayed in the App Store, and it was incredible enough that Apple actually bought it. But talk to me, how did you end up on the Workflow team?
Sure. I joined up a while after it had started, so I feel like one of the luckiest people in just how that all went down, because it was, I had no idea that we'd get acquired like 9 months after I joined the team. But I first heard about Workflow through websites like Mac Stories, and probably, I'm not sure if you, that's how you heard of it too, but especially when Workflow ended up having the widget issue with Apple that I feel like you're sort of referencing, where they did actually literally get kicked out of the store. Ironically, there's a video of that moment where the team was screen recording how many followers they were getting on Twitter, and you can literally see me follow them in the video. It's actually pretty wild.
It was awesome.
Like, we didn't find that out until after we got acquired, and it was like, just looking back, and they were like, what? You can see Matthew's name in here. I worked at another company and was basically looking for a new role, and I was super into building workflows, and I really liked it and had learned through like the process of reading all of these articles, but I could tell even today, it's still hard to learn. But at the time, I wanted to join and help them build sort of documentation and social media presence to market the app. And then also the gallery of shortcuts was what they were working on mostly at the time. So I built a lot of those that are actually still in there today, which is pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Basically, we were like putting together a lot of documentation and trying to explain how the app works, and Apple essentially scooped up the company. And so at the time, we like pushed out magic variables like right before we got released. And so
right. That
was even something that I wish I had gotten more time to share and explain fully to people. But yeah, since then, afterwards I didn't want to really work at Apple, ironically, even as somebody who's always been super into Apple, because I wanted to go join a startup, a small team, and like have a lot of impact without a ton of overhead, I'd say. And then
sure.
Going into Apple is like layers of management, and then like, I don't know, just the whole giant corporation thing wasn't exactly what I wanted. And even at the time too, I do live in Berkeley, and so I'm like just out of the range where I could relocate to work at Apple. And so I pretty much would have to drive, I think, almost 2 hours every day, or like they have the whole bus system, but
it's a commute.
Yeah, I found out this was right when the Switch came out, and I got the Switch, and it made me car sick in the bus. And so I couldn't do anything in the bus at all.
Oh, man.
It was actually not great. So that was kind of a bummer. But I ended up basically covering what was the Workflow support and for the time. And basically, eventually it transitioned into Apple support, which I think I have no idea how many people call into Apple support, but you can get help with your shortcuts from them in theory.
Really? Wow.
Pretty sure if you're at the level where you're like building them and sharing them online, maybe they won't be able to help as much, but there is technically support there, which is funny.
Wow, that's interesting. Now, so seeing kind of where Shortcuts has gone since that acquisition, do you ever feel like maybe you would have stayed at Apple or wish you would have?
That's an interesting question. Not necessarily. I mean, speaking, at least it's post-pandemic here in California, just literally today they opened up stuff. So maybe in the last year and a half, it would have been nice to be inside a larger company and not out on my own doing my own thing. Because that was,
right.
I'll say, not something that I expected, and is sort of something you need to plan for if you're going to go solo. But I'm not sure. I think there's definitely some parts where I would like to see more sort of in the gallery, because that was literally what I did. And so it is sort of I'm not sure. I can't speak to anything internal at Apple, but not just even from not even knowing anymore at this point.
Sure.
It seems like one of those things where like I would have been the person to do that at the company, and then I don't work there, so it hasn't happened as much or something like that. But even regardless, the stuff that they've built since then is absolutely amazing. And I do think it might have been hard to like know about all that stuff and not be able to use it, because I think
right.
That was sort of part of my decision not to work there was I like to use this stuff a lot, but making it is a whole different story, especially if it's in like a semi-broken state or something like that. And I'm really passionate about teaching people how to use it and taking advantage of the technology, not as much the setup part, which is, I don't know, there's probably downsides of not being there. And I like, to some degree, I wish I could have like made it better alongside the team. And
sure,
the team also is amazing. And if you've watched the developer sessions, they're just like delightful people. They have all these inside jokes about like soups and stuff like that. That's hilarious.
That's
probably my biggest regret, is just not being able to work with some of the most intelligent people. That I was blown away at just hearing conversations when we'd go get coffee about how much they could just, such iOS people. And even Ayaka was mentioning on Twitter how they had to become Mac people to develop shortcuts for Mac. And so I am very fascinated what that's like for them.
And we'll definitely get to shortcuts on Mac for sure. So now you're independent, you're on your own, really doing the teaching shortcuts, sharing shortcuts. You have a membership program where you kind of have more advanced shortcuts. So very cool. I'm curious, what is so interesting, or what makes you passionate about automation with things like shortcuts that you would circle your whole thing about? You know, this is what you do, you know, it's shortcuts.
For me, I was the non-engineer on the team. And so the rest of the team were developers, and I could see what they are capable of. And I wasn't capable of doing that. And also, I just don't want to learn to code, but I want to program stuff. And so I think shortcuts really hits that niche really well. And it even so much to the point that while I was working there, they would explain to me that some of what I was doing basically was development, but just through the scripting interface instead. And so when you're repeating with each, that's a for loop in programming. Or I honestly still barely know, because I've learned through shortcuts purely. I did some SQL early on, so that was sort of how I think I got into the linear programming, where you have to like do one thing and then the next step. That's not always super intuitive. For me, it really allows the regular person to get into computers further than I think in the last, I mean, even since sort of the iPhone came out, it kind of, I don't want to say dumbed it down, but it didn't let you peek under the hood as much. And shortcuts definitely lets you do that. And so I have gone under the hood and through every single part of the car and gone way too far. And it's, I need some more like power user features over here, but still there's tons of stuff. So I have like too much material to even, I wish I was better at making videos, because I can make shortcuts all day long, but turning it into a succinct YouTube video can be a challenge sometimes. But that's why I do streams and the membership and all that.
Right. And that's the thing too, is it can be intimidating. As soon as you show someone a shortcut over five steps, you know, people will get a little averse. You know, they say, well, there's no way I could ever do that. What's interesting with the Mac OS version is I think there's some thought that as people build shortcuts on the Mac, it'll actually take them even farther down the road of full-on programming and learning all those things. So that's an interesting point. So with those small shortcuts, you know, if you were talking to someone who has not used the shortcuts app and you wanted to show them the power of shortcuts for something that would apply to them that they might use even on a daily basis, what's your like first step, or which shortcut do you show a person to get them excited about it?
This is one of the perennial questions that is always so tough, because it works with everything and it depends on who you are. I think the easiest thing that I like to do is say, show me your home screen, because then I can just pick, almost guaranteed one of those apps will have some shortcut support. There's a really cool ways are to use it or to interact with your other Apple devices. So like if you do have a HomePod or an Apple TV or an Apple Watch, you can do things like quickly cast your videos to the Apple TV, or even like open a specific app using that. Or you can have like your set your speakers all throughout the house. Right. HomeKit stuff is really good too. It is always, I think that's one of those, it's a very interesting thing that I almost struggle every time, because I have 900 examples, but to give you the top five is like, that's 1% of what it does. I manage my whole membership program by making these fancy web requests through an API to Airtable's databases and stuff like that. So I go full on programming and making stuff that is essentially its own app environment.
Yeah.
But then I have also one that just opens my Safari reading list, because that's hard to get to in the app. So
yes,
there's a whole blend of those kind of things. One that I really like is it updates all of those weekly playlists that you get from Apple Music and adds them to a master playlist. This is actually an automation that runs now. So like I have a history of all of my favorites mixed for the last 6 months instead of just 10 songs from the last week. So that one's pretty fun.
That's pretty sweet. One of my favorite ones is anyone who drives, which is usually most people, I do the quick shortcut of put in your home address, put in the step of find travel time from current location, and then auto-populate a text to your partner or significant other with your travel time home. And so I run that all the time. I commute a lot. And so I hit this shortcut and it says, be home in 20 minutes, and it texts it to my wife. And just that short automation a lot of times is enough magic to show people what it can do. Just nice. The ability to, you know, find your location, automated text, send it to someone, and something you would do often. Mm-hmm. And you can do it from anywhere, whether you're just picking up food from a restaurant or you're coming home from work. You could just text your spouse, you know, I'm going to be home in however many minutes. And it's always useful, and you can run it everywhere, your watch, your phone, you know, so it's pretty convenient.
Yeah, totally. That's a great one.
I will say there was one shortcut that I actually posted on TikTok, which have you ever experimented with TikTok or sharing stuff on there?
I have. I've done two videos and I'm pretty sure I deleted the first one because I was embarrassed about it.
Okay. So on TikTok, I posted a shortcut. I was able to get it in the 60 seconds, but it was pulling from Unsplash, which is a royalty-free stock image website, and they have an API link, and it can, every time you, if you use the right URL, every time you hit it, it'll give you a different image, and you can do a search query like for ocean and water or whatever, and basically the shortcut pulled from Unsplash an image from whatever topic search they wanted, and it set it as their wallpaper. Because one of the recent additions to shortcuts is it can set your wallpaper, and if you, you know, turn the toggle off for the ask permission to do it, it'll just change your wallpaper immediately. Mm-hmm. And then I showed them that you can do it as the accessibility, like back tap, and people freaked out, you know, that they can change their wallpaper every time they tap the back of their phone. And I think it went up to like 750,000 views, and it was just wild.
Wow.
That people were so interested in. And so, you know, it's funny. I think David Smith, _David Smith, when he did the Widget Smith, he didn't realize just how much customization is a popular topic for people, whether it's wallpaper or whatever. So I don't know. Have you had any experiences like that just with, you know, aesthetic customizations?
That's what I was going to say, that one. I mean, all of the shortcuts, home screen stuff was amazing to see. It was such a shame that it was just like slightly not as good as it could be.
Right.
And then they fixed it a couple weeks later, but with TikTok, it was like that was old news by that point.
Right.
And just like if you did set it up, it really was a pain in the butt. I've done so much with home screens. It's not okay. I need to do simpler ones like that though, where it is just one shortcut, because I think that's what's like teaching shortcuts versus using shortcuts is a whole, those are two totally different ballparks. And so I think using like the wallpaper ones are awesome. I have mine set to change 5 times a day. Like when I wake up, it's like a slightly different color and then like goes throughout the day. So that's a fancy one. The new focus contexts in iOS 15 and all across your devices are awesome because they can actually change your home screens also, which is something that I think is going to be amazing. And those can be set up with shortcuts automations to be set whenever you want.
Yes.
They even actually have location triggers that do work automatically, which is otherwise not possible in shortcuts.
Right.
So you can have I get to work and then it's my work home screens. And for me, with my work shortcuts set up, they're on those home screens as well. So, and it can just run whatever you need to get to like switch into work mode. The shortcut is or the focus mode is an automation trigger itself, in addition to being automated when it turns on. So,
right.
It's ridiculous. And I have like 15 iPhone and iPad home screens set up, which is, they only allow 16. And I've learned the hard way that if you go over the limit with widgets, it will just like blow up back to the front page, and you can now rearrange pages, but you couldn't before. Oh my God. I wasted so much time. It was like, I mean, I got to the point where it would just happen. I would just be like, all right, and just do it. Cause I'm just like, I have to, I have no choice. I can't, if I get upset about it, I'm just going to be way worse off than it's just like, just deal with it. Like part of the job, I guess. So
like you're saying, you put a lot of widgets on your home screens with shortcuts. How do you find you most often run your shortcuts? Siri, widgets, you know, do you use any on the watch? What do you think?
That's definitely almost one of the biggest challenges, is I can think of and create more shortcuts than I could like realistically take advantage of most of the time. But I think that's why the focus stuff is, I can tell, is already going to make a big difference. It's not, something about it is broken on my phone right now, so I can't do the home screen changes. But on my iPad, it's actually really sweet to be able to, I basically change to that specific context where I've spent so much time just in shortcuts itself creating those categories too. So like I have, when I'm working on my newsletter, I have all these shortcuts set up for like every stage of the process. And now when I go into newsletter mode, it'll just show that. And the big thing is having widget stacks, because then you can just have one, like on my phone, it's just the four shortcuts, but you can put 10 stacks on there. So you can really have like 40 shortcuts on one home screen if you want, which I end up doing. I definitely do that. So it's very absurd.
Nice.
It's been a balance of, I went before where every step was a shortcut and I had literally 1500 shortcuts. Then I pretty much reverted completely to the opposite side and made one newsletter shortcut that had 15 options.
Right.
But then that also was just kind of like giant menus, and it didn't feel right either. So recently I've sort of settled into more of a balance where there are shortcuts with menus, but each of, there's still usually like four or so in a folder just because that's what actually fits there. So I've done all this meta work on how to even use shortcuts. That is, like, I've been trying to like foster a community more of people who actually do talk about shortcuts, because in many ways we're all doing the same stuff on our own. And especially now that it's on the Mac, it's worth discussing as basically a programming language, what are the best ways to approach this kind of stuff? Because
right,
it's how people are going to automate things on all of Apple's devices in the future. So
right. Since you've been kind of all in on shortcuts for a while, you kind of have to be iPhone and iPad, like that's your probably main working devices. But overall, do you prefer working on the iPad as like your main deal? Are you still more of a Mac guy? Do you try to balance it? What's your split there?
Yeah, I'd say I've gone pretty heavy into the iPad, and I'd say I like, it's the one that I enjoy the most and that I feel super comfortable on. Almost every app or service that I use generally has to either work through an API or have an iPad app in order to basically fit into my workflows. In almost every way, I've been iPad only, except for the fact that I make YouTube videos and live stream and do podcasts from a Mac. And so I've used a Mac the last 5 years,
right,
almost every day, but I also don't, I can tell right now that it's like weird for me to sit down and go to my Mac first as opposed to my iPad, because I just feel so much more comfortable there. And because of that customization,
yeah,
I'm going to do it on the Mac using some of the new stuff, but not in the same way where it is literally built into like switching home screens and widgets and stuff, which I've grown really used to. I still, before I went to iPad, I was deep in the Mac. Like I came to the Apple world because of Mac Power Users. So that's definitely all been native, but I just, it was hard for me to get into deep automation stuff there, partially because, to be honest, a lot of it isn't super approachable.
Right.
Either you are learning to program or there's some like esoteric apps that are super amazing, but it is like just having shortcuts taking up so much mental space is like, to do that also is just kind of a split focus, where in some ways it was kind of like, is shortcuts going to come to the Mac eventually? so kind of that paid off at least. Yeah.
Yeah, it had to. The same thing, like I was never into AppleScript. You know, I didn't really use those a lot. And Automator, man, like I would try to use that every once in a while, but even just to try to batch convert some PDFs to images or something, like it just never felt user-friendly. It never felt like it worked how my brain worked, at least.
Yeah.
So I was, I never got into there. I was just hoping that shortcuts would come to the Mac, and thankfully it has now. Now, did you get the M1 iPad Pro? Did you upgrade recently?
I did, but I returned it only because I intentionally, it's not as like, I could have absolutely made a clickbait video about it, but I bought the one that didn't have cellular because I wanted to see what it was like, and I did not like it at all, partially because I didn't realize how bad my internet was in certain spots in the house, because it always just kicked over to cellular and I never noticed. So I knew that I was going to probably return that one because I also like wanted to use it. And I do think I'm going to upgrade. I kind of wanted to see what was going to happen at WWDC. And it's definitely, especially on YouTube, it's like people were expecting Final Cut and Xcode and then we like didn't get it. And so it's a terrible device. I have so many thoughts about the iPad that it sometimes the like current conversation about it.
Yeah.
I'm like, you guys have just totally missed everything else about it and why it's great. I don't want to talk about other people because all I know is how I've used it and what I enjoy. But I also like really want Final Cut on the iPad because it would be amazing to edit the stuff and just be able to move back to the Mac if I have to and have that kind of cross-platform workflow. And otherwise,
yes,
in pretty much every other way, I already do that kind of work. It's like I said, I only use apps that do work on iPad and Mac most of the time. And so maybe that's part of why I don't make as many videos is because I'm on my iPad and it's not as easy as I could.
Right.
It could be.
So I'm totally with you. I got the M1 iPad Pro because editing podcasts, at least audio-wise, is good on that with Ferrite.
Yeah, Ferrite is amazing.
I agree. I would love to see Final Cut on it. And the conversation has been so split. You know, I feel like after the keynote, there's a group of people that are like, oh yeah, multitasking is great now. And I feel like I'm in Bizarro World because I'm like, it's basically the same. It's just they have controls now for what were only gestures before. So there's that whole camp. And then there's the other camp where it's like, nothing changed. The iPad's a failure. And I was going to say I get both sides, but I actually don't get the side that says multitasking is good now because it's really the same. For me, even if the functionality where maximum two apps at a time, fine. You know, if that's all we're ever going to get is one thing, but there's still the small pieces. Like I still use this as an example because it seems the most notorious, but to use an audio interface, like a USB microphone, just a USB mic plugged right into the iPad. Mm-hmm. Let me use Skype and another app to record it at the same time and let that audio input be in both apps. And you still can't do it with iPadOS 15. And so even if they didn't change like the mechanism for multitasking, like split view and slide over, those other little things like inputs and things like that, it seems like just a big oversight. So I don't know. Does it feel like Bizarro World to you? I mean, it's basically the same, right? Multitasking. This episode is brought to you by AirMedCare Network Fly You Home. AirMedCare Network Fly You Home gives you the comfort of home when you need it most. Maybe you travel around the country for work or leisure, but if you travel often and you happen to be hospitalized more than 150 nautical miles away from home, AirMedCare Fly You Home will transport you to a hospital of your choice in one of their medically equipped private aircrafts by specially trained nurses and paramedics at no out-of-pocket cost to you. I'm talking maybe it's a plane, maybe it's a helicopter, but they will take you to the hospital of your choice. They've completed more than 18,000 missions and have over 30 years of experience helping their members. So you can expect industry-leading service that takes care of everything so you can focus on recovering. I don't usually consider what would happen if I got sick or injured when traveling, so I cannot recommend AirMedCare Network Fly You Home enough if you plan on taking a trip in the near future. And for as little as $134 a year, you and your entire household can enjoy complete peace of mind when traveling. As an Apple Insider listener, you'll also receive up to a $60 gift card when you join. So go to airmedcarenetwork.com and use the code Apple. The promo code is just Apple, one word. That's airmedcarenetwork.com, promo code Apple, when signing up to get up to a $60 gift card. Our thanks again to AirMedCare Network Fly You Home for sponsoring this episode. So I don't know. Does it feel like Bizarro World to you? I mean, it's basically the same, right? Multitasking?
I mean, I know what you mean specifically about the multitasking. Yeah, picking up stuff from the home screen part is greatly improved. I agree that you can still do the same kind of gesture things. That was actually my most successful video by far, was explaining the iPad gestures. Partially because I had a really good thumbnail where it was just like simple, but it was, I think, at least at the time, one of the most comprehensive ones that did explain some of those, to even just like switching in between apps, doing the iPhone type gesture, so many people just never think to do. And like also that you had to pick up an app and then like use your second finger to go to the home screen, pick up that one and then drop them. And so it's like, you can totally do it.
Right.
They didn't overhaul it in terms of window management on iPad as philosophically, right. But in terms of UI controls, I think it makes a lot more sense. I think even after making that video, like Federico posted some sort of video where he moved a thing from split view into full screen by moving it to the top. And I was like, oh my God, I did not know you could do that. And like, that was a really nice one.
Yeah.
So that was a good example of like, even I thought I knew everything about it. And then there was like, not a couple. The one thing I think is, I haven't actually tried it, but if you put a split view thing on the left side, which is not the normal side,
right,
and then you move the trackpad to the right, you can like push it across the entire screen. That was like the one gesture that I figured out later that I was like, I need to make a follow-up video. I can like send it to you or put it on Twitter or something. I do think it's weird that you're like staring at the three dots all the time now.
Yeah.
But some of the other, the low-hanging fruit stuff, I think.
Yeah.
I'm surprised. I think specifically the podcasting thing, I noticed it specifically, all the podcasters that I listen to used to complain about it more, and they kind of stopped. And I wonder if Apple like doesn't know that that's something that people care about that much, even though...
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a very interesting, like, quote unquote, everybody that I know knows that this needs it, needs some sort of feature. But then, like, have we ever said that clearly? And, like, in a way that's just like a request, not like this is absurd that it hasn't been done or something like that?
Well, I will make the official request now. Apple, if you are listening, allow us to use audio inputs in multiple apps at the same time. That's all.
I will say, you got to file feedback too, because that is literally like their like, I think that was what was very nice about working for a really intense app and all of these engineers. And then also basically I didn't work at Apple most of the time. I didn't like see in the engineering team what they were doing all the time, but it was very helpful just to understand what it takes to make this stuff and how thoughtful the people at Apple are.
Sure.
Like
sure.
Seeing them discuss one problem about one specific angle of one service, I was like, wow, you really have thought through every single angle and narrowed it down to those best ones. Or even just the priority system of like, yeah, that's what I want to do, but it was a P3 and now it's a P2 and then next year it'll be a P1. Like that was some of the reasons I didn't want to work there, was some of the stuff would take 3 years to get done and maybe I need a little bit more patience, but that's one of the parts that's nice about being free to, I can make a shortcut and share it with somebody immediately. I wouldn't have to wait until every summer just to share new stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
I think WWDC this year did sort of like help me recontextualize what the iPad is. I think I'm going to need to sit with it more this summer, but I think I was kind of expecting, in the same way that many people were, the iPad to kind of become a MacBook replacement, insofar as like you could, you already probably can use it when you would need a laptop as opposed to a desktop, if that's clear. Like I use a desktop and I don't have a laptop at all, and I pretty much don't need one because I have an iPad Pro.
Right.
I think just having an iPad Pro and no sort of other computer, probably most people can't do that right now. And I think that's also fits very neatly into like a content creator niche where we would all love that. And that would really help, especially for travel or things like that. But 90% of the other people don't ever do anything like that.
Right.
And so it does probably serve most of those needs really well. And then the last bit is, I think something that maybe it goes unsaid a lot is almost everybody that I know that uses the iPad Pro full time or whatever that means uses shortcuts. And almost nobody that I see talk about iPad uses shortcuts. And so if you never got, you're like, yeah, you're right, I can't really get some of my work done. And I'm like, I can get work done that I could never do before because of this automation tool. And so in many ways, that's why shortcuts for Mac is going to be really cool, even for the iPad itself, because now you can do quote unquote real work or where you choose to do your real work happens on the Mac. Now you can automate with shortcuts there. You can also bring it to the iPad, which is probably going to be a better experience for a lot of just touching in the same way that you do podcasts.
Yeah.
Touching the content. I hate the terminology. It does sound a little weird, but
no, I get it.
Just physically controlling your stuff is like editing a podcast or editing a video feels so awesome on the iPad, and same with shortcuts. And it's going to be really cool to see people adopt shortcuts for Mac.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm like out of breath because I'm so excited.
So excited about shortcuts then. Tell me, what are your top three or five? How about this? How many shortcuts do you have in your shortcuts library? I'd be curious for you to actually look at the total.
I have 855 right now. I could tell you
855.
It's almost easy. I have like 100 folders. And so those are really areas where I do things with shortcuts. And
gotcha.
I have 10 folders for YouTube videos for everything from prompting me to like listen to my script out loud so that I can hear the tone and the pacing of those things, from grabbing my YouTube RSS feed and opening into like the comments section so I can of a specific video and things like that.
That's nice. Is that on your public gallery on MatthewCassanelli.com?
Not yet, although everybody should go to MatthewCassanelli.com/SiriShortcuts. It's the shortcuts catalog is what I call the overall thing.
Right, right.
So the shortcuts library is where I have, I don't remember how many it's up to now, but they're all some of the simpler versions, so I'm actually going to be adding a lot more soon again. It'll be
nice
in the hundreds realm, because I'm just I don't know, I have so many. It's kind of wild.
I have 131, so not near you, but
I think that's what it says. Like, nobody should, I'm a shortcuts creator, and this is like my job to make this stuff and to think of everything so you don't have to.
Right.
It's like the theory is I want you to look at 100 of them and grab 10 that made sense for you, but you could also maybe go see ones that you don't necessarily need, but see how they're built and stuff like that. It's just like, what's the Jurassic Park thing of like, they never, just because you can doesn't mean you should. So I don't know. That's not, that's a terrible paraphrase.
Oh, now I want to remember. Yeah.
But
oh goodness, just
yeah, exactly.
They didn't wait long enough to find. We are butchering this. We're sorry, yeah, every Jurassic
that's
Park
why I
fan.
Just fully paraphrased it, because I knew I was not going to get it right.
But yes, that's a good quote.
That's pretty much what I'm doing.
So of those 800 something, can you name maybe 3 to 5 that are kind of like your favorite? Maybe it's you're the most proud of having figured out how it worked and getting it to work, or just one that you use all the time?
Ones that I really like for HomePod are, I have just one that's called Change Speaker, and it's set so that I can just pick from any of the HomePods that I have, and or Bluetooth or Apple TV things, and switch to that, and AirPods, and then back, because that can kind of be a pain in the butt too. That also includes some that are set. This is a specific method, is in order to group HomePods, you have to play music through the control home action, which is through HomeKit essentially.
Right.
And it only lets you like play a specific radio station or album or something like that. But I have just played downstairs and it groups all my HomePods together really quickly, which is otherwise not possible currently. So I just find that really useful. And honestly, another feature request for Apple. I don't know why that's not possible otherwise.
Right.
Just directly in real time. That's like the perfect use case for shortcuts, is it's that always changes. And so you want to be able to set it just how you want it, depending on your context.
Do you also regret the death of HomePod, as I do?
HomePod Mini is still around, and so
yeah,
at least that got more people to have them that could run shortcuts in my world. I also think nobody ever talked about that you could run shortcuts from HomePod, like at all.
That's true.
That is always blew my mind, that it's like shortcuts was just never, ever considered as part of Siri, even though it's been that for the last 3 years. I will say it also like kind of can suck sometimes, so like
yes,
say that and then get Apple to improve it, as opposed to just like it never was even mentioned, which I think is it has actually, I feel like, is one of the reasons HomePod didn't seem as good, is because people never talked about this one feature of it that actually I could listen to my articles out loud on the HomePod, which is what I do. But also, I only ever listen at like 15%, because if I turn it louder, it'll like rumble through my floor. So it's it's definitely like overpowered, even though it's awesome in those needs. At the time, I wanted a HomePod Mini and had to pay $300 for this thing. So I get why it didn't sell well.
I will say there was, back in the early shortcuts days, there was an option in every shortcut where you could name the shortcut, you do the icon and color, and then you actually would program the Siri command that you would speak separately.
Yeah.
And you'd be able to kind of hard code that into the shortcut, so you know when you say this, that's what it does. And there was some update, I don't know if it was iOS 13 or 14.
Yeah, I think
but
so.
Yeah, they changed it to where whatever you title the shortcut is the spoken command. And I feel like that was never made clear.
Totally.
And at least for me, there was a couple weeks where I was like, how am I supposed to trigger these shortcuts? I can't program what to say. And I don't know, I forget where I saw it. Maybe it was I don't know if you ever tweeted it or whatever, but you just say the name of the shortcut. But that, I don't know, I guess I preferred where, back when you can hard code kind of what you could say. But I feel like that would have made a gap for some people where they wouldn't, you know, at least seeing that option when you edited a shortcut signaled to you that you programmed something to say, and now it's kind of really not anywhere.
Totally. They did address that in iOS 15, so I'm trying to look. It now says underneath the name, I'm not going to say it, but blank Siri, comma, the name of the shortcut, right underneath where you type in the name. So that's really something that they've really emphasized, is the fact that is a trigger phrase for it. So that was something I totally agree that I have, again, I want to comment from personally, nothing against the shortcuts team, but that does feel like one of those things that I would have really cared about,
right,
and like wanted to make sure when you're transferring that people like understood what was happening. And so I think that I would say that's the kind of thing that I wish I had been there to like really pay attention to, as that was always my goal, was just the person. I don't care about the technology as much as the people who understand it. And so I think that's going to be much better in this version, is all of the names are clearly the trigger phrase for the thing. I think if you add a shortcut from an app and don't give it a name, you can actually give it a separate trigger phrase. But I think it's like a weird edge case from the developer thing.
That's interesting, because I'm looking now, because I have the beta on my iPad. So I have iPadOS 15 here. And in the shortcuts app, there is like kind of like a new settings icon. And in the setup side, you can actually do import questions. And I do like that. I feel like that's much clearer.
Yeah, those were always there. It was just under a scroll, so you would never see it. Which is,
right.
There's
right.
So many like UI things. The same with actually comments now will expand to show how much text you have in there. If I happened to like type something that was one line break below, you just would never know that there was words down there.
You would never see it, right.
I did notice that the name field, you have to know that you can tap on it in order to change it. But yeah, it says there. Yeah, I noticed that. It's like a little tiny affordance that's emphasizing the fact that you speak the name of it.
Right. Oh, that's nice.
One nice thing too that I actually only just realized today, the Mac app is, and I guess I assume this is for iOS too with the share sheets. So there's a whole redesigned share input section where you can basically have it speak back responses if you want, or also change a whole ask for input methodology. So at the beginning of every single shortcut, I would say, if there's not an input, if this isn't run from the share sheet, essentially, then instead let me select a photo or something like that. And I would do that in every single shortcut. And you pretty much have to know to do that. You'd have to know essentially scripting at that point in order to just make a shortcut work in multiple places. And so
right.
One of the changes now is if it's not set up to automatically run something, it can just prompt you to ask for a photo or text at the right moment. And so some of the just usability things are going to be a lot better this year.
Yeah.
Like suggesting new actions for you at each step that otherwise you just have to kind of know or intuit. It can just like be like, oh, you should, if you have a list of things, maybe you should choose from the list and narrow it down to just the one you want. So
yeah,
that stuff is going to be a lot better.
So you had your HomePod shortcut that you really like. What's one other that you just either use it every day or you couldn't kind of live without it or really do your work without it?
I like that last part as a perfect angle for one that's my log caffeine shortcut, because it helps. It does do my work. The other one I like, I do a whole meta thing where I scrape shortcuts itself and the API that they have for shortcuts to post all of mine to my website, and I'll share that later. But my log caffeine one, I have a whole set for different types of coffee cup sizes or espresso or like soda or something like that. And then it logs the caffeine and then calculates. I'm pretty sure I need a better essentially algorithm for it, but it just like calculates how much I've had so far during the day so that I can tell if I'm over caffeinated or not and keep track of it over time too. Because
there's no such thing as over caffeinated. No, Matthew, don't believe the lie.
It happens to me all the time, honestly. I drink Blue Bottle, which is from the Bay Area.
Yeah, yeah.
And it is so strong that if I have two cups, I will literally like have to lay down because I'm like so caffeinated. But otherwise,
On our HomeKit Insider podcast, me and Andrew, we started talking about the U-Keg, where you can brew your own cold brew at home with nitro.
Oh, yeah.
That stuff's amazing. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, I hit that up pretty often. But anyway, yeah, I don't need a log caffeine shortcut. I just know I have a lot. But that's cool.
I have like cool. a Logwater one that's like a brother to it or whatever, that it's like what's half your body, which is also needs a better algorithm. But that's actually, I need to use that one more because I do not drink enough water and I have too much coffee. So
yes, and the coffee is the opposite of water as far as hydration. So I do. Yeah, I knew that. So with the macOS shortcuts, and you know, that's very exciting. What are some other functions or integrations that you hope Apple will add in the future, both for shortcuts on iOS and on the Mac?
I think they need to add shortcuts for every single app that they offer. And they also need to send the session that they just created about making good shortcuts to those other teams. Because I do think that's another interesting thing is like Apple is very cross-functional. And so there's a contacts team and a calendar team or whatever. And there's not like a person on those team. I mean, maybe there is, but like dedicated to shortcuts, or like the shortcuts team doesn't go make it for them. And I think an interesting thing, even just with shortcuts itself, is like they had to fully develop the APIs that the developer is going to use in addition to their own internal developers to be able to utilize that stuff. Like they obviously had early access, but at least it just working well needs to be functional. And so I think like Numbers and Keynote, they have very basic, like you can add to certain rows, and the Numbers team has actually added, has been, I think, one of the only teams that's improved the shortcuts that existed in workflow. So like, I think that's why I am a little surprised that it's been almost 3 years now. And I think over 50% or 75% of the actions are from workflow, were from the public APIs that the team could build, which they did an amazing job of taking advantage of literally every single thing that was possible. But I do think that Apple needs to lead by example as much as they're providing documentation for developers to do it.
Yeah.
I need to see really good pages options in order for other document apps to have examples to learn from themselves too.
Right.
And just for pure functionality. Adding number support means that every, like an everyday person could automate their spreadsheets and run their whole business using a couple of shortcuts. And instead, I do have to go to the web for a lot of stuff that doesn't have shortcut support yet, that I think, I really hope that session, I think it's like designing great actions for shortcuts. They very clearly are like, you need to get data, you need to have a thing that's just the file itself, you need to be able to post it. So they like lay out the types of shortcuts that developers should make. And I'm even thinking about like actually meeting with developers themselves and talking with them about their shortcuts ahead of time, just because I want to help people. I want regular people. I want to take advantage of it myself, and I want their users to be able to use it all, because it's like at this point, we're waiting on is for apps or Apple to add more actions. And then the second, I mean, we got like 40 new actions this year, and I just added 50 new shortcuts because of that. So like the sky's the limit as soon as any app integrates with this. And now we can get Mac apps. It's going to be really cool. I'm excited.
Yeah. Well, very cool. Well, Matthew, thanks so much for joining us. Where should people go? We'll put links to MatthewCastanelli.com, of course, and your Twitter. You're a great follow there. Anything else you'd like to point people to?
I have a YouTube channel. It's youtube.com/MatthewCastanelli. I'm trying to get more consistent with uploads, but I also run my membership program through my website. It's MatthewCastanelli.com/membership. And so through that, I basically do regular live streams where I'm building new API shortcuts. I just did a bunch for Notion, or I also have a shortcuts user group that I am now, I'll say it here now, is I'm moving it from Slack to Discord, which we were on Discord originally, but now we're going back because that will make it a lot easier to actually just interact casually. I moved right before the pandemic, and so Discord wasn't really stable then, and now it's like the community thing.
Is the thing, yes.
But I wanna stream with people through that, and just inside the group, and just kind of interact with people more and talk. And then I'm probably gonna add a forum on top to have like web searchable answers for specific questions and stuff like that. But yeah, it's tons of fun.
Awesome.
There's so many people doing shortcut stuff, like it's huge on Reddit. And so trying to just like talk with all y'all more, because I want to help build shortcuts. You should come on and we should build some shortcuts together. I'm totally, I just want to help people build it, because I think you got to see it to understand it really, and see someone who's just like, throwing them together. Cause then once you see that it's possible and that you can get further, I think it's like, oh, now I can really take advantage of it. Like shortcuts for Mac, I think also is like, okay, now it's time to take it seriously. Maybe you just didn't care about the iPad before and your phone, you don't do it for work. So like, there's a lot of awesome stuff and you'll be able to use it personally too. So
yeah, very cool. We'll put links to all of that. Your YouTube channel and website is in show notes, listeners. Check out Matthew Castanelli. Matthew, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.